Thanks for joining what is the last session in this first series of live streams. Last week, we finished off with part one of democratizing leadership, and we left you with this concept of what it means to be leading from the edge of your competence. Today, we're going to focus a little bit more on what this means and start to have a play with how you might start to bring it to life. We each have an opportunity right now to reassess how leadership is lived and experienced inside our organizations. So there's never been a better time or a bigger burning platform, I think, to shift our thinking around the future and how we realize the potential that some of these superpowers have to offer us as leaders. Today, what we're going to explore with you is the how of democratizing leadership, the levers that you have to pull, including a deep dive on activating your people. We're going to give you some principles to get started on and get off to a fast start. And finally, we're excited to extend an invitation and a challenge to join us with the experiment and to start a movement in democratizing leadership for your organization. So let's get started.
So last week, one of the concepts we shared with you was this concept of tight and loose. As a leader in an organization or somebody trying to think about what to go after, what are those things that I make the choices and trade-offs on to hold tighter and hold looser? But I want you to think about this as finding the opportunities within your organizations. Where are the paradigms that exist now? We asked you that last week. But remember, I don't want you to think about this as two ends of a spectrum. There's nuance within it. I want you to think about this as a series of mindsets, the mindsets that exist within the culture of your organization. And to give you, again, a couple of examples to paint the picture here, think about the mindsets and paradigms that sit within those big institutional companies. Some of you are in them. They build themselves to mitigate risk, to get control, to put matrices in place for governance. Now they're desperately seeking the ability to loosen the culture, to be able to let ideas and innovation be fluid amongst it. So what are they having to grapple with? The mindsets to be able to tighten and loosen to achieve that outcome. And the outcome's important. On the other side of that, think about the fast starters amongst us. Think about those growth organizations, those small organizations, where the culture is one of all in and freedom, where they have trust as a starting point and the collaboration is easy. But as they grow bigger, they're really trying to push processes and systems to keep what's good, but to be able to leverage that to succeed in the future. Last week on the session and this week working with some clients, we've heard many, many stories. And the way that I want you to think about shifting these mindsets is taking this idea of distributed accountability to the next level. What do we mean by that? Well, last week, a lot of you shared this idea that the last 6 weeks has really provided an opportunity for you to see bright spots. And those bright spots that I heard were that of collaboration, were that of people stepping up, taking ownership, taking accountability. The distributed accountability came from those people in that time of crisis. We've been working with a client this week that has reveled in this distributed accountability. They are so excited about what they're seeing. People are stepping up and grabbing and solving without permission. They're able to solve things that haven't been solved before or taken many years to do so. Now they're asking themselves this question, how do we maintain and sustain that? And we had that last week as well. A really interesting question that we got asked this week. If this is the new normal, why can't somebody do their job from anywhere, anytime, in any part of the world? Because the other end of that tight and loose is, what does that mean for risk? What does that mean for the customer? And how do we put the structures and the cultures in place to enable that to happen? So for me, distributed accountability comes from where we see conviction from those people in the bodies of our organizations. And it's our ability to unlock that conviction, to allow it to flow through our organization that is important. But it can't be that of chaos. It has to be that with structure. But what is conviction? We've got four things that we play around to give you an idea of purpose, clarity, courage, and capability. When I think about conviction and think about people that I've seen over the last even 6 months in the way that our societies have been operating, Greta Thunberg and her ability to be so courageous in the way she communicates her messages, Celeste Barber that Brent mentioned last week with an unwavering purpose to do better, Jacinta Ardern, I read this morning that she's now being labeled as the number one leader in the world. For me, unwavering clarity about what the job is to be done. And then just recently, we added capability because conviction without capability is Donald Trump. I had to get that in, I apologize. So my question for you is, last week we asked you, what are the bright spots you're seeing in your organization? I want you to take that a step further. I want you to think about, to what extent do you think you're achieving distributed accountability? And if not, where could it be? Where is that opportunity? Where is your opportunity from now and into the future to achieve greater levels of distributed accountability? And it doesn't matter where your organization is on that spectrum between battling the constructs or trying to put processes in